My name is Mike Thomas. This is my son Mark. And we're together going to do the workshop today. My apologies for his name not being on the door also. How many of you are businessmen? Let me see your hands. Okay, good. How many of you have ever responded to an ad that turned out to be bait and switch? Okay, most of you businessmen, okay. Well, my son's a victim. I asked him earlier in the year to help me with the workshop. So after I introduce him here, I'm going to turn it over to him, and then I'm going to assist him a little bit later in the workshop. But before we begin, I'd like to lead us in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here today. Lord, we're thankful for the leaders of the conference who had the vision to bring men together for these days to focus on you and focus on our walk with you. And Lord, there's no more important discipline or area of the Christian life than the time alone with you that we call the quiet time. So I pray now that you would anoint our time with the presence of your Spirit, that you would keep our tired bodies and minds active and engaged, and that we would be able to take away from here something that would make a lasting difference in our lives, in our relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to switch mics here. We're not wired for dual mics. And this is Mark. And this one goes up high. And this goes up high. All right.
All right. He didn't tell us that we're both, tell you all that we're both high school teachers, so we're used to yelling over screaming kids all day long. So if y'all can't hear me in the back, just let me know and we'll just pump up the volume even louder. We can do that. Whenever my dad approached me about doing a workshop with him and told me that it was quiet time, it was probably the one that I would choose over any other one to be a part in delivering. It's a basic of the Christian life. And if we are not spending time alone with God daily, everything else suffers. So we're going to take a look here. And we didn't fold it for you. We're hoping that you can figure out how to fold it the right way. If you can't, we've got some assistants that can help you with that. We're going to go ahead and get started. The very first blank that we have right there, we'll come back to later. And it's a phrase that we've kind of developed with a group of guys. First thing we have there is Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And one thing that we need to make sure that we're not doing whenever we choose to have a quiet time is just getting knowledge just so we can be puffed up. We need to fear God. And we're going to take a look at who it is that we're approaching and hopefully gain the right perspective on all of that. Jeremiah 9:23 and 24 says, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands me and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord." We have no boasting about anything. Come on in. We are under God's sphere of influence, and we want to give Him the glory. It's not our boasting. It's not our doing. First of all, we have here, what is a quiet time? First thing we're going to look at is what it's not. It's not a habit. It's not a checklist. It's not on your to-do list. But it's a meeting with a person, and that's the person of Jesus Christ. Now, we have to be careful here. It's not a habit, but habit is involved. We want to develop a habit of meeting with God on a daily basis. But it should not just be out of habit. We're meeting with a person, and we need to make sure that we keep that in the front of our minds at all times, whenever we have our quiet times. What are just a couple of things? I've only got two things here. So what are a couple of things that are essential parts of a quiet time, what would they be?
Prayer.
What else?
Bible.
The Bible. We hit the two that I thought of. And there are some others, and I'll mention that in a little bit, but the two basic things that we need to have is the Word of God and prayer. Anybody have Joshua 1:8 from memory? So there's talking about the book of the law, meditating on it, and the purpose of that is so that we can observe to do all that is in it. Not just so that we get smarter, but so that we meet with God with the purpose of obeying. And that's critical. On our prayer, Colossians 4:2, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. So for prayer, we need to make sure that we're vigilant in it. On a prayer sheet that I picked up years ago at this conference, it says, don't be weary in prayer, keep at it, watch for God's answers, and remember to be thankful when they come. That's also Colossians 4:2. I've tried to find out what version it's in, and I'm still not sure. But it's Colossians 4:2 out of a different version. In the message in Colossians 4:13, Epaphras, who is one of you, says hello. And he goes on, what a trooper he has been. He's been tireless in his prayers for you. What a statement. And I don't know much about Epaphras, but it made a big impression there on Paul in order to write that. So two important parts there are the word and prayer. We're going to dissect a little bit later on exactly how to have a quiet time. But I think we could probably agree for the most part that those are our two most important things. We've got to have those two things. The Word of God and prayer. Who should have a quiet time? Only old people over the age of 100. No? I tried to be all-inclusive in this. My answer to this, and you may disagree with me, my answer is only breathing people over the age of 0. Well, no. Only Christians should have quiet times, right? Well, I've heard a lot of people say that there are non-believers that read the book of Proverbs and get a lot out of it. It's beneficial to all. So I figured that a better answer there is only breathing people. If you're breathing, you ought to be having a quiet time. And it doesn't matter the age whatsoever. 2 Timothy 2:15, does somebody have that?
Work hard so God can approve. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly explains the word.
Right. My point on this, as far as putting this verse here, is who should have a quiet time? Well, breathing people and those that don't like to be ashamed. And I don't know of anybody that purposefully goes out and likes to be ashamed. So I'm using this verse here to say that we don't want to be ashamed, so we need to meet daily with God. And I know there's a lot more in that verse other than just that one part there. But I think it's important that we meet with God on a daily basis. Some of the misconceptions that I had about quiet time when I was growing up, I can't use a lot of excuses that some people I know can use. My dad modeled for me how to have a quiet time. He modeled in several different ways. Growing up, I knew where he was at 5:30 every morning. Didn't matter what happened the night before. At 5:30 in the morning, he's on the couch, not sleeping, reading God's Word, praying for us, memorizing Scripture, and it was a daily thing. And I knew that. I don't know how I knew it because I wasn't awake at 5:30, but I knew that if I needed him, he was there. And the other thing was, I don't know if he knew it at the time, but he really developed the with him principle in us. I can remember as a young kid going to Hardee's with him and eating and him showing us how to have quiet times individually. I have two sisters. And I remember that, and that's really stuck into my mind. He showed us by example and by instruction how to have a quiet time. I didn't follow through terribly well on that in high school. I was one of those kids that I was involved in a lot of stuff. I'd have a couple, and then a few weeks would pass, and I can't remember the last thing I read. So I'd start over, and I'd have a couple, And then a month would go by and I didn't have one. And I was hit again, miss again. And it's really hard to have any consistency if you're not consistent. That's just impossible to do. So I thought, well, you know, I'm in high school, young kid. Those old guys, they've got it all together. When I get to college, I hear you don't have to go to class all the time, and I'm going to have a lot of free time on my hands. And when I get to college, I'll be able to be consistent with the quiet time. So I waited till I got to college. And there's not the free time that I used wisely to have a daily quiet time with God. I had spurts on and off of developing a quiet time and then slacking off. Probably more slacking than developing. But my thought at that time was, you know, it's just different from one day to the next. One day you have to study organic chemistry. The next day you have to write a paper for English. When I get things worked out and I graduate and I have a consistent daily schedule, that's when it'll be easy. When I get out of college and get a job, it'll be a lot easier then. I'll have more time. My days will be the same every day. It's not get up at 8, get up at 10:30 the next day. It'll be easier then. And I really believe that. And I got married. And it wasn't easy. Okay. Well, no problem. You know, I'll make sure that at least by the time I have kids, I want to make sure that I'm having a quiet time so that way they know what one's like. Those of y'all with kids, boy, the time just goes, you know, and there's no free time anymore. So my point here is, I don't care what stage of life you're in. I see a lot of young guys, a few older ones. You need to start now. Don't wait for a better opportune time to start having a quiet time. It was a few years back that I came to this conference, probably 8 or 9 years ago, and I heard Lauren Sandy speak, and I'll speak more of that later. And he said some things that really hit me, and it wasn't until then that I really became consistent with this. Ecclesiastes 12:1. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come. I don't know if that meant poopy diapers or what, but I've had some difficult days. And the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. Okay? Young guys, old guys, I don't know where you are, but we need to start. We need to get on it. Why should I have a quiet time? I think this is a big one. I think a lot of people know how to have a quiet time and don't, because they don't know why they should have a quiet time. If someone knocked at that door right there and told me that a guy by the name of Edson Arentes de Nascimento was outside, I'm sorry, I'd be gone. He also goes by the name of Pele. And if they said, hey, Pele's here, he wants a couple of hours with you, wants to go kick a soccer ball around, world's greatest soccer player, I'd be gone. I'd be handing the mic off and I'd be out of here. It's because I understand who he is. He's someone that I idolize, someone that I'd love to kick a soccer ball around with. And I think that one problem that we have is the next question here. Do we really understand who God is? We're going to take a look at a few verses here. So you might go ahead and flip some of those if I can have a few volunteers to read those or quote those. By the way, was I the only one that has had the same journey growing up? You always thought you had more time later. All right, Romans 11:33. Does anybody have that for us?
Okay. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God! How unsearchable His judgments and His paths beyond tracing out.
Oh, the depth of the riches! In my mind, that's got like 5 exclamation points after it. The depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Do we understand God's riches? The depth of them, how deep they are. Take a look at our second verse here. Galatians 4:6. Somebody have that?
And because ye are sons of God, or because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father.
What's the difference that we see here in this verse? What is this verse pointing out about God?
That He has caused us to cry out for fellowship with Him as children.
Yes, His children. We're crying out, Daddy, Daddy. Do we understand who He is? Do we understand that He is the Father? And we can come to Him. Amos 4:13.
He who forms the mountains, creates the wind, and reveals His thoughts to man. He who turns dawn to darkness, and treads the high places of the earth. The Lord God Almighty is His name.
I think one thing that I lose sight of a lot of time when I pray is that God is the Creator of all things. He makes the wind blow. I teach physics, and I'm still not sure I understand about wind. Okay? And He just does it, especially yesterday. He did it a lot. But it's just unfathomable in my mind the things that He has done and does on a daily basis. Isaiah 40:28-31.
Have you ever heard or understood? Don't you know that the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth? He never grows faint or weary. No one can measure the depths of His understanding. He gives power to those who are tired and worn out. He offers strength to the weak. Even youth will become exhausted and young men will give up. But those who wait on the Lord will find new strength. They will fly high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint.
A lot of times in life we have heartache, we're tired, we're worn out. God is our sustainer. Not only is He the Creator, but He gives us the strength that we need day after day after day. Anybody else have any favorite verses of recognizing who God is? Don't say out the reference and expect me to quote it, though. You have to know it. Anybody else?
I saw the Lord. He was high and lifted up. Strength filled the temple and the angels cried, holy.
Saw the Lord and He was high and lifted up. Holy, holy, holy. Anybody else? Okay. Let's take a look at our next page, or continue on with that page. Sorry. A couple things that I think that we need to realize in our relationship with God is found in Isaiah 43:1. And this is specifically speaking about Israel, but I think the same thing applies to us today. It says, "But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine." And as we saw before, not only does He cause us to cry out, Abba, Father, He's called us by name. Every single one of us individually called us by name. You are mine. We are His. In 3 John chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Now, I think this thing has three different aspects to it. I think there's one aspect that says, as a parent, I have three boys, ages 5, 3, and 2. And it pleases my heart when they walk in truth. And it makes me suffer when they don't walk in truth. And so I think on an earthly parenting, I have great joy when my children walk in truth. And then I think there's from the spiritual aspect, your spiritual children. And I believe the same thing's true about God, that He has great joy when we are walking in truth. So on that first item there, I believe that God Almighty desires it. I think He desires that we walk with Him. Deuteronomy 4:39. Does anybody have that one?
Acknowledge and take to heart this day, the Lord is God in heaven above and on earth below. There is no other.
There's four little words at the end right there. There is no other. There is no other. We can try to have multiple gods. We can create multiple gods. But in the end, there is no other. God Almighty deserves us to be devoted to Him and to spend time with Him. So we need to make sure that we recognize who it is that we're approaching, God Almighty. John 14:21.
Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. Whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Yeah.
It's a lot of different words there for that show myself to him. The version I have it in is manifest. Some versions have reveal. And I think in order to understand what it's like for God to reveal himself, we need to take a look at a situation where that occurred. So let's take a look at Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 13. We're on page 2 now. He not only does he desire it, but he also deserves it. If I were a real preacher, I'd have 3 points there, I know, but I've only came up with the 2. Okay, you got the third?
That's the one we read from 2 Timothy 2:15, where it says, you know, you should be ashamed if you don't do it.
2 Timothy 2:15, he demands it. Even starts with a D. I appreciate that. I might steal that if you don't mind. Luke 24, verse 13, says, "Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, and they did not know him." That's a sad statement. They keep on walking, and some other events happen. And this is, of course, after Christ has been raised from the dead. In, jump on down to verse 27. 24:27 says, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, 'Stay with us, for it's toward evening, and the day is far spent.' And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished from their sight, and they said to one another, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us?'" I think something that's probably one of, in my opinion, one of the things that I would have loved to have been there to see and hear is whenever Christ puts the whole Old Testament in context about who he is. He revealed himself to those guys that day. And I think that one thing that we kind of get away from is, well, yeah, but that was back then. Guys, we have the Holy Spirit with us. He's our tutor. He's here to guide us. Last part of that passage there in 33. The result of God revealing himself to us. "So they rose in a week and went back and said nothing." No, that's not what it says. "So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them, and they gathered together." And then it goes on and explains what they said. There's a result out of God revealing himself to us. Something I stole from a Mark Lewis tape. It says, "Getting to know God leads to trusting him. Trusting him leads to yielding to him. Yielding to him leads to being conformed to his image." And that's what we're after. But it all starts with getting to know God. Getting to know God leads to trusting him. Trusting him leads to yielding to him. And then not just yielding, but yielding leads to being conformed to his image. Somebody have 2 Timothy 3:14 through 17.
"But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
In my opinion on this part, the question of understanding who God is leads us to who are we going to look to live our life by? Are we going to live it by our authority or God's authority? The authority, the Word of God. So we have a choice to make. We can either continue on through life on our own or live by the Word of God, live by the authority. Next thing we have there is, when must I have a quiet time? The answer to that's real simple. And I'll point it out even some more as we go on. The answer is today. If you haven't had one today, you should have one today. In the morning, when you ask yourself the question, when should you have a quiet time? The answer is today. The next day, the answer is today. And I'll relay some stories that I've had through the years on that. Is there a good time of day? Well, a couple of examples. One of them is a Crawfordism. That means it's by John Crawford. He says, the hurrier I go, the behinder I become. Well, don't wait till the day gets to be a rat race before you get going. Another example is from Dave Ramsey. He's a financial guru, and he actually has a yellow pad method of budgeting. And he's gone through and made a million and lost a million and made a million back. But basically what he said is the yellow pad method of budgeting is whenever you get money, you write down all the things that you need to do. And you put the most important at the top. And what happens? Well, somewhere along the way, you'll probably run out of money. And you draw a line there. And when you draw that line there, everything else below, it just doesn't happen. So when the creditors started calling, saying, hey, I want you to pay the whole bill. He says, can't do it. I say, why not? He says, you're below the line. Well, that's pretty plain and simple. Our day is like that. When we start listing out the things that we need to do each day, unfortunately, a lot of times ours looks like this. We start doing all the things that we need to do. Brush your teeth, take a shower, eat. Go to work, make some money, eat some more, watch Monday Night Football, and before you know it, there's this big line that goes across there. Somehow quiet time gets left down here below the line. We've got our yellow pad upside down. We need to make sure that our quiet time's up there at the very top. Okay, and one way to do that is to get going before the day gets hectic. Some of the biblical examples that we have involves Psalm 5:3. This is one of the ones years back whenever I heard Lauren Sandy, first time I ever came to this conference. This is one of those that really stuck in my head. It says, my voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you and I will look up. It doesn't have to be in the morning. That's when David did it. Mark 1:35 says, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he, and they're talking about Jesus here, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. In the morning, long while before daylight. That kind of gets hard here in the summertime because the sun comes up pretty early. But long while before daylight. And one of the things that I think that's interesting about this story is he didn't get to bed early the night before. He was busy the night before doing the work of his father. And yet, in the morning, he got up and he went out and spent time with God. It was a priority. I'm sure he was tired. It was a priority. I'm sure there are other things that maybe he could have done, but it was a priority. And he made a point to get up and get out and have a quiet time. Proverbs 20:13 is a verse that I have memorized, and actually, in my mind, it's always been a financial verse. It says, do not love sleep lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes and you will be satisfied with bread. And I think sometimes we're lazy and therefore we don't have the bread that we need. But I think so true it is too that we're missing out on the bread of life because there's a snooze button over there. And we won't open our eyes and be satisfied with bread. In fact, in just a minute, we're going to take a look on how to have a quiet time, and my dad will be sharing quite a bit on that with you. And we're going to be looking at a 7-minute quiet time. One of the things that I think is real neat about a 7-minute and 7 minutes with God is it's less than 9 minutes. Any significance about the number 9 minutes? It's how long your snooze is for. Don't hit that button. Get up. Spend time with God. Our fifth question here that we need to answer is, where should I have a quiet time? And my answer to this is, yes, that's a good question. Because you need to think about it. You need to find a place where you should have a quiet time. Where you can have some privacy. Maybe you go into the bathroom and shut the door and lock it. They won't mess with you for a while. But you need to find a place. And if you're getting up early enough, you've got more options. But we need to make sure that we have a lot of that stuff planned. When during the day are we going to have a quiet time? Where are we going to have a quiet time? And in just a minute, we're going to look at how we should have a quiet time. Any questions before I turn it over?
I hope that you guys don't feel like you've suffered too much from the bait and switch tactic that I mentioned at the beginning of the quiet time. How do I have a quiet time? We have there that you need to have a plan other than, can you guess what that is?
The one I've got now.
The one you've got now? Okay. Present method. All right. It's the finger method. You know, you open the Bible and you point to a verse and that's where you read. You have to be careful about doing that. I think it was Skip Gray that I remember here talking about a guy doing that, and he turned to the verse that said that Judas went out and hanged himself. And then he turned to another, he didn't like that one, so he turned to another place in the scriptures, and it said, whatever you do, do quickly. So you don't always get what you're looking for when you apply that method. And what we're going to do today is we're going to, at the end of the workshop, we're going to give you I think we have enough, we have 100 copies of 7 Minutes with God, and it tells you where to get that. This particular method has a very personal meaning in my life. I came to Christ between my junior and senior years in high school. And I'd been a member of the church for a long time and real active in the church. In fact, my dad and I were singing in the choir together the morning that I came to Christ. And it wasn't really till after, I'm kind of a slow learner, by the way. It wasn't until after he was already home with the Lord that I realized that the person that led me to the Lord was my dad, because I responded to a message and an altar call. But the person that came down out of the choir loft behind me and took me through the Roman road was my dad. So he's the one that really led me to the point of belief and salvation and saving faith in the person of Jesus Christ. We were fortunate enough to have a guy in the church shortly after that was our pastor, a young guy. And I went to him, I said, Nathan, what do I do to keep on growing as a new believer? And he handed me this little tract. And he said, you need to have time with God every day. And I've used it a lot. I passed it out in a Sunday school class a few years ago. And a fellow that I began to meet with several years after that said, you know, Mike, when you gave that out, I had a quiet time every day for a year. I wasn't meeting with the guy. I didn't follow up on him. I didn't do anything I knew of the things I knew to do from navigator training. But I was teaching this Sunday school class, and it had that kind of impact on his life. So you never know what's going to happen. But here's the basics right here. We're going to start in a few minutes and give you actual time to do this and ask you to pair up. And when you pair up, if it matters to you, pair up with somebody with a compatible translation to yours, because you're going to be reading and sharing. So if that matters to you, be sure you do that. The order of events that occurs in Ezekiel 3:10, I think, is significant. In the New King James, it says, Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, receive into your hearts all my words that I speak to you, and hear with your ears. Notice the pattern there, the progression. Receive into your heart all the words that I speak to you, and hear with your ears. Internalize what I'm saying to you. Don't just let it pass through, but internalize what I'm saying to you. We have given you a little handout there that has the ABCs of God's names. It's the little double-sided sheet. Mine's not double-sided, but double-sided sheet. It has the names of God on one side and some other things on the other. Those are really helpful in the prayer time. So what we're going to ask you to do in a few minutes is to divide up in pairs and take a half a minute to pray. One of you decide who's going to, you decide as soon as you get together. We'll give about 30 seconds to get organized. And then one of you have just a brief prayer. We'll give you 4 minutes to read the passage that we have printed off. Well, no, we don't have it printed off. The passage out of Mark 1. So you need to be turning to Mark 1 right now. So you'll be there. So you won't have to do that when we get you into your group. And one of the things that was emphasized to me with me from the very beginning is that when you have a time alone with God, you need to keep a record. Today they call that journaling of what God says to you. And you need to complete the circuit. You would consider someone that you were sitting across the dinner table with rude if you talked to them and they never responded. Unless you're just one of these people that wants to monopolize the conversation. But most of us would consider that rude. And so it's rude of you and I, when we hear from God in His Word, that we don't respond to Him in prayer with regard to what He said. So we need to complete the circuit. It's like an electrical circuit. We need to complete that. So we'll be asking you to do that down there on the worksheet. And then end with a couple of minutes or 2.5 minutes of prayer. That adds up to 7. We're both mathematicians. I think we added it right. And we got it out of the book in addition to that by Bob Foster. But I wanted to share with you a few verses here that have been meaningful to me in following the acrostic acts. Most of you are probably familiar with that. The A stands for adoration. That's not filled in, I don't think, on your sheet. The A stands for adoration, which of course means to praise Him. In Psalm 146, 1 and 2 are a couple of verses that I memorized a long time ago that really express that. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord while I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Just pure praise to God, adoration. And then there's confession. The C is for confession. And 1 John 1:9 is a verse that I use a lot in my own life. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous or just to forgive us our sins. And I like the last part. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness in addition to that which we confessed.
What was that verse again?
1 John 1:9. And then the T is for thanksgiving, an attitude of gratitude. 1 Thess 5:18, Paul in 1 Thessalonians gives some just real rapid-fire instructions there in those verses there. 18 is kind of in the middle of that passage. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So we need to be thankful. And then supplication is the S. That's kind of a long word. Supplication. Matthew 7:7 comes to my mind there. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. This is what Jesus said about asking. And then there will be those, as you develop a quiet time, or if you've already done it, you won't have time in the 7 minutes today that we're going to ask you to do. But there will be those that you want to pray for. For A, Psalm 146, 1 and 2. But there's a verse here that we talked about, 1 Samuel 12, 23 and 24. This is Samuel speaking. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you, but I will instruct you in the good and right ways. Talking to Saul. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you. Too bad Saul didn't listen. But notice that David considered it a sin against God not to pray for him. So when a brother or someone comes to you and asks you to pray for them, and you don't, Samuel says you've sinned against God. Not only have you let the guy down by not bringing him to the Lord in prayer, but you've sinned against God. One way to solve that problem is to do it right then. That's one way to solve that problem. So that's the matter of intercession. So we're going to ask you to try that. So if you'll, two of you pair up. If it turns out that there's three, that's all right. We're going to time you. I've got my stopwatch here. So get paired up. Time! I'd like to give some of you an opportunity to share some of the things on the part there, what God has said to me. So let me just recognize you, and you can share with the group here what God said to you out of that passage. Who has a thought? Okay? Say that again. Thank God for ministering to us. Okay, that's good. Somebody else? A thought? Yes, back here. Okay, I marked that myself. What else? It's somebody else.
They left their old way of life.
They left their old way of life. Immediately, didn't they? So, get it all back together here. Somebody else? That's a good point. He wasn't out to impress people with his wardrobe. That's right. Okay, somebody else?
Jesus goes from man to man laying his charge, his call upon their lives, and he expects each to obey.
The individuality of the thing. Right, that's very good. Somebody else?
John the Baptist immediately recognizes Jesus is coming and acknowledges him as more powerful than him. We need to acknowledge Jesus as our master.
Right. That aspect of acknowledging Jesus as Master. Anybody else?
They followed without asking any questions. They just dropped what they're doing and followed.
Anybody in here have kids? Old or young? Yeah. That's remarkable, isn't it? That they followed immediately without a whole list of why or why not. Yeah. It sure is. Well, the point we're trying to make here is that you really can do it in 7 minutes. But your hunger will grow to the point where that's not near long enough. You know, that's not near long enough. And it'll be worth getting up early enough to spend the time that you want to spend with the Lord. And my problem is that I get up at 5 o'clock. And I still don't have enough time. My day starts about 6:45. And there's still not enough time. That's not all spent in the Word. That's other things I have to do to get ready. On your next page there, I think it is, where should I start? Where should I start? And there's a quote there that I'm going to read in a minute. But I think you have to start with a response to verses like Luke 6:46. Reviewed that one this morning. And why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say? If there's one verse I'd like to cut out of the Bible and remove from the context, that's probably be close to the top of the list. And why do you call me Lord, Lord? Because it's such a haunting verse. And do not do what I say. Because there's so much of what I know that it says because I've been fortunate enough to be exposed to the Scriptures from just the time I was very, very small. So I've had lots of exposure. And for years I had lots of head knowledge and no obedience. Didn't even know the Lord. But the other thing here that Rusty Gause says is volume does not automatically lead to consistency. So it's not how much you do. However, consistency leads to volume. And I'm an example of that being true because I started out with a 7-minute thing as a teenager. And it does lead to volume. The next thing there that I think is important that we want to talk about and impart to you guys is keep a record of your reading. I think if you go online to this website down at the bottom of the page there, the Navigator website, www.nav.org. Is that right? Somebody know? Okay.
It's at the Discipleship Library also.
They have a neat little thing that you can download and print off there. And we failed to do that for the workshop. My apologies. That has it just kind of all in little squares so you can just check it off. Now remember, it's not a checklist. And it's not a habit for the sake of a habit. But I think it's important, as Paul would say, that we know the whole counsel of God. And that we not spend all of our time in our favorite section. I've tried to make a habit of getting through the book, the whole thing. I don't do it all in a year's time. Through the whole thing before I start back over. Now, that's just kind of the way I've worked it. Mathematicians are kind of quirky about things. And one of the things they're big on usually is organization. You know, when you write a proof in geometry, you want that sucker organized so there's no holes in it. And then whoever reads it understands exactly what happened, whether it's geometry or calculus or whatever it is you're proving theorems in. And so I like to be organized in certain things. And that's one of those things. You can read a chapter a day, and in 3.5 years, you've read the whole Bible. And I think, and that's 3.5 there where it says equals 3.5 years to complete the Bible. And right above there, keep a record of your reading so you can purpose to read the whole book. Purpose to read the whole book. And at a minimum, read one section each day. Right now, I'm having my quiet time out of the message. And it's really been refreshing because of some of the way that Peterson phrases some of those things that are not the way I'm used to reading it, and yet he's not really changed the meaning. My pastor calls that dynamic equivalent. And he's done a great job. And so a lot of times I can't make it through a whole chapter in the Gospels because they're pretty long. I have to stop and talk to God about what he's already said. When we give you the little track, 7 minutes in a few minutes, it'll mention in there that the suggestion is to start with Mark. And the reason there is because Mark, the Gospel of Mark, moves so quickly. It's real action-packed. It was written for the pagan mind of that day, action-packed to keep attention. And so we would suggest that you start there if you're not already having a quiet time. And then go to John. Get a real good, intense look at who the person of Jesus is. Go to Acts and figure out what the church is all about. There's the early history, early record. And then go to Romans and get a real good dose on the doctrine of salvation and some other things too. Billy Graham has said that he reads a proverb a day and 3 psalms a day. Now, I wouldn't stay in Proverbs and Psalms all the time, and I know he doesn't. But that's another thing you can do. And personally, I like to use different translations each time that I can. Gene Moore, as long as the Lord gave him health to attend this conference, was active and involved. And one of the things that I know that Gene did was he read the Bible through every year. And I suppose that started probably in the mid-50s when Billy Graham came to Oklahoma City and he became involved with Charlie Riggs and Charlie began to disciple him. But I've heard him say more than once that he tries to pick up a new translation each year. And there's a lot of translations out there. You know, there's one book out there that has 26 different translations in it. I'm sure it's just the differences of the translations that's there because it's not thick enough to have the whole text. But there's lots of them out there. But you might want to start with, if you're just starting, you might want to start with your standard version. It may be King James. It may be New American Standard. That would be my standard version. It may be New King James. That's my son's standard version. It'll be different versions depending on your age and when you came to the Lord and what was available at the time and what was recognized as being accurate. So that part really doesn't matter. Maybe NIV. There are several chronological Bibles out there. I saw one this morning laying on my roommate's desk. The chronological Bible in the New Living Translation. It's available in the NIV and some others. After you've been through the scriptures once, it would be helpful for you to see the historical flow. Now, the scriptures is a book of history. They are a book of history. They are also a living book that impact your life and mine. As a matter of fact, as a result of some scriptures that I have memorized and reviewed and some studying I did, my wife in our mid and late 50s are getting ready to pull up roots and move again. And I really didn't think I'd do that again, but there's some things there that God spoke to me about concerning an opportunity and an invitation that I responded to. And so we're going to do that. And then after you've done a standard translation and maybe gone through a chronological Bible, you might want to consider one of the paraphrases. The Message is the most current, probably, and there's some others. But the variety for some folks is really helpful in keeping it fresh. So I don't know how many of you are like me and you've read a paragraph or a sentence or even a whole page and your eyes followed the words and they went through your mind, but none of them stuck. The hard drive wasn't working. And you couldn't tell anybody what any word was that you said unless you already knew something about what you read. So I think that can happen to us with the scriptures, especially if you're in the habit of doing it early in the morning, which I think is the best time, and you're not quite awake. By the way, for the Hebrew, the morning started at sunset. The day started at sunset. So some of you may be Hebrew in your lifestyle, and it may be that you need to wait till the afternoon or evening to have your quiet time. Just be careful, as Mark was talking about the yellow pad illustration, that you don't end up putting the quiet time below the line. Okay, that's the main thing there, I think. So I'm going to turn it back over to him, and he's going to share some more things with you. And if you have questions, we'll be glad to field those here at the end.
I just asked him, made sure that he was going to be here to answer all the hard questions y'all had at the end, and he assured me that he would stick around. Let's take a look. Last section here. We're almost done here. Thanks for bearing with us. Look at some of the results of a daily quiet time. Isaiah 26:3 is one of my favorite verses. I found it on a mug, probably out of CBD, and ordered it. And I've got Is 26:3 on my board in my room at the high school that I teach at. And I've got a slogan above it, and I'll tell you the slogan in just a minute. Anybody have Isaiah 26:3? Because he trusts in you. You'll keep him in perfect peace. There's a lot of days with a 5-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 2-year-old. I don't know what perfect peace looks like. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. My board, I have the Message. Got peace? Isaiah 26:3. Especially teaching high school. A lot of high schoolers don't have peace at all. And I believe that that's the way to peace.
Meet with the Prince of Peace. Psalm 37, 4 and 5. Anybody have that?
He shall bring it to pass. Okay? Delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. How are we going to delight in God if we don't meet with Him and know Him? Psalm 5:3, I've already said to you all, my voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord, in the morning I will direct it to you and I will look up. That's the way the New King James says it. One of the other versions says, and I will look up with eager expectation. Are we waiting to see what God's going to do in our lives, through us, for us? Or do we have an eager expectation when we meet with God that something's great is going to happen? Daniel 6:10 says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home and he hid. Nope. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Daniel did it in chapter 6, verse 10, because he had been doing it. He didn't start when the times got tough, when the king says, don't bow down. He didn't start then saying, you know what, maybe now's a good time to follow God. He had been doing it since the early days. Day after day after day he had done it. And when the king said, don't do it, I'm going to do it. That's what I do. I meet with God. I pray with God. I learn more about Him day after day after day. Are there any other either personal results of having a daily quiet time that you've encountered, or maybe a verse that you know of that you'd like to share? I tried to pick all the good ones so y'all wouldn't have any, but there's a few more out there. Lamentations 3, 22 and 3. 23, always faithful. Lord's mercies. Anybody else? All right, D.L. Moody said, go ahead, sorry. Job 23:12. Treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. That's pretty strong. I like my food. Anybody else?
I think it's Philippians 3:10 that says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed unto his death.
That's powerful. Philippians 3:10. Okay. Anybody else? Yes.
John 15:7. If you remain in me, my words remain in you. Ask whatever you wish, shall be given to you.
Yeah. John 15:7.
I'll throw another outline at you.
Go ahead.
Your 4 that you gave us. Basically, you're telling us that the results of a daily quiet time are that they can give us peace, purpose, perspective, and
for those of y'all who didn't hear, the first 4 verses, peace,
purpose, perspective, and perseverance, that consistency that Daniel had.
And perseverance from Daniel. He's good at that. Oh, wow. Under the results of a daily quiet time, the 4 verses that we just looked at, we just spouted off 4 P's there. Peace, purpose, perspective, and perseverance. I'm going to have to listen back to this tape to make sure I get those written down too. Anybody else? Okay, D.L. Moody, just as a reminder here, God did not give us the Bible to increase our knowledge. Yeah, you need to learn. But He gave us the Bible to change our lives. I've got a question for you here in just a minute. A couple things I want to remind you of. 7 minutes is less than 9 minutes. Your snooze makes the alarm come on 9 minutes later. Don't hit it. I told you we'd come back and fill in that very first blank on the front page. It's probably 7 or 8 years ago, Lauren Sandy did all 5 talks in the main speaking times. And it was my first time here. My dad had invited me to this conference year after year after year. I always had some excuse, a test coming up, something going on. Finally came down. It's probably 7 years ago. And I sat there and I listened to Lauren Sandy speak. And I don't think there was a single other person in that room because he stared at me the whole time. And I was probably on the second row, a little bit off towards his right. And he spat on me with every word. I got soaked. He hit me square on. And one of the things that he talked about was having a daily quiet time, meeting with God every single day. I meet with a group of guys, and a lot of them are here. We've met together for 9 years, probably. And it's an accountability group. And one of the things we did in our accountability group was we asked each other questions, tough questions. Have you had a quiet time? No? Well, that's okay. I didn't either. That's the way it was for a lot of the years. We had made our own goals. Someone's goal was 2 quiet times each week. Someone else's goal was 3 quiet times each week. I don't even remember if we dare had anybody that said that their goal was 4 quiet times in a week. Every week we failed. We weren't getting 3 quiet times a week. We weren't getting 4 quiet times a week. We couldn't even remember which days we had them or what the last thing was that we read. And Lauren Sandy spoke and said, is there any reason you cannot commit to have a daily quiet time, day after day after day, for the rest of your lives? Is it that important or is it not? If it is, then commit to have a daily quiet time every day, day in, day out. Okay? Don't make that quiet time fall up below that black line of, oh, I just ran out of time, I couldn't do it. Too many other things pressured it out. I believe it's important. And I took those words back to Stillwater with me and shared them with some of the guys. And I purposed every day. I wasn't checking 4 days out of 7. I wanted every single day to have a quiet time. And so as we've been asking each other for the last 6 or 7 years, we're not asking how many times you had a quiet time. The answer is either yes or no. Do you have 7 for 7 this week? That's what we're after. 7 for 7. Okay? And not 7 on Monday before we meet on Tuesday. Every single day, we want to meet with God and have a daily quiet time, learn more and grow more with Him. To me, that has been probably the most life-changing question that had been asked. And I've been here a lot of years, and I've heard a lot of great speakers. But that was the thing that hit me square on the most, to go 7 for 7. And I tell you what, it didn't just change me. It changed our group. There are several other guys that are going 7 for 7. And I guarantee you, all of us are better than what we were because we're seeing it in each other's lives. I can't stand up here today and say that for the last 7 years I've been 7 for 7. I know that for many, 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 many weeks in a row, I've been answering yes to that question. The goal is 7 for 7. If you didn't have one yesterday, did you have one today? Tomorrow morning when you wake up, what day should we have one? Today. Don't wait. It needs to be 7 for 7. Here's the input time. You don't have to say it down, say it out loud. You can just write it down there. I've got a question for you. Why not? Why shouldn't you have a quiet time? Go ahead. Start listing them. Okay? I even gave you 6 spots there.
Not 7.
Just 6. Couple things else to point out there. Down there at the bottom, BibleGateway.com is a site that I've used. If you've never used it, they probably have 20 different versions of the Bible. You just pull them up and look at them. Okay, it's a great website if you're at work and you want to look at something, or you're at your computer and you've lost your Bible because you haven't used it in the last 2.5 years. It's there, okay? BibleGateway.com. And then that Discipleship Library extension, I believe, is .com and not .org. Play around with it a while, you'll figure it out, right? All right. Any questions that we can answer for you? Yeah, there is a, while we're answering questions, what page is that on? Page 24, there's a workshop evaluation. Before you leave and forget what all we said, might not be a bad idea to jot that down. You don't turn them in here. I believe there's instructions there that say you can turn them in at the registration desk or Saturday evening after you're finished with them. It's on the back of the page that you filled out this morning, or you're supposed to fill out this morning. My dad is also passing around the 7 minutes with God pamphlets. Any questions that we can help you with? Yes. take a shower, get an early start on the coffee, wait about 10 minutes, and then start reading it. That's somewhere along in there. And I've heard people say that the lists of genealogies and the rules and stuff, in my opinion, there's a reason for everything that's in the Scriptures. The tediousness of the display of the tabernacle shows me that God has cared about every intricate detail. And everything has meaning. It gets a little fuzzy.
Man, there's no way I can do that in the morning.
I have a practical. How many years did you say it was before you finally became accountable to God for 7 for 7?
I was probably 26 years old.
Okay, how many years would you give us, Tim?
I'd say by next time, whenever we ask you.
I've got a good list of 6 here.
Oh, good.
They're not alliterated yet,
though. Okay, work on that alliteration, and we'll get you back on that. I will point out that I'm a mathematician, and my dad is too, and our brain does shut off after very long. And I've tried that read a Bible through in a year, and I don't care how good the section is. It might as well be in Philippians. And that amount of reading, it's difficult for me to do.
Well, see, I've started this year, and I just got finished the last part of Exodus. Man.
I like listen through in a year, but don't let that be your quiet time.
Mm-hmm.
We all spend so much time in the car, and most of it's wasted. You know, you can turn off the sports news or, you know, mindless dribble of the, you know, talk shows and pop in a tape of the Scripture, and you can actually listen to that for a while. Sometimes you don't understand it out, but that's okay. You're getting some exposure, but
right. That's
not quiet time. But you can easily go through the Bible
right.
year using it in your car on your tape.
Right.
Can we count that? No.
I would move on from there and add that to it.
With God,
yeah. Anybody else? We got a few more minutes. If anybody else has anything else on that, I will point out that whenever I started reading daily, and I realized that I could read through the Bible, because that's actually my dad pointed it out to me. If you read a chapter a day, it's 3.5 years. I really started becoming frustrated with myself, realizing that if I would have only done that, my 9th grade year to 12th grade year, I would have read the Bible through. My 4 years in college, I would have read the Bible through again.
And that's not that bad.
And that was a lot of wasted time. A lot of wasted time.
You can take several days on Psalm 119.
Yes, you can. It takes a while there. So, anybody else? You got anything? All right. Thanks, guys.